There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Pummeled after a religious law is signed by the governor last week. Many people withdrawing from wanting to be a part of the final four coming up in a mere few days. Not the teams themselves, but others surrounding going to that event. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, we have a couple of interesting things that we're going to touch on, including Lufthansa, as I said the other day. They're going to just get pummeled, and they should, because now would it surprise you to know that they knew of the co-pilot's severe depression back in 2009? Well, if you have a blueprint for that and they've got documentation, that's not a good thing, because they're going to get sued right and left for the deaths of all of those people on that plane. The death of the law, the early demise of the law that was just signed by Governor Mike Pence on Thursday, is so far that's not happening. The conversation has ratcheted up, including the governor himself, because of all the emails and his phone blowing up and the questions and the questions and the questions that he keeps getting asked. He felt compelled to address the situation, and here's what he had to say.
As governor, I have the great privilege of serving the greatest people on earth, the people of Indiana. Let me say first and foremost, I was proud to sign the Religious Freedom Restoration Act last week. I believe religious liberty, as President Clinton said when he signed the federal law in 1993, I believe religious liberty is our first freedom, and it is vital to millions of Americans who cherish faith, as I and my family do. But it's also vital to the framework of freedom in our nation. And this legislation was designed to ensure the vitality of religious liberty in the Hoosier state. I believe Hoosiers are entitled to the same protections that have been in place in our federal courts for the last 20-plus years and in the law in 30 other states. But clearly, there's been misunderstanding and confusion and mischaracterization of this law. And I come before you today to say how we're going to address that. We've been working over the last several days, literally around the clock, and talking with people across the state of Indiana, talking to business leaders, and talking to organizations around the country who have spent time in Indiana, enjoyed the hospitality of the people of Indiana, and we've been listening. But let me say, first and foremost, as I've said to each one of them, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was about religious liberty, not about discrimination. As I said last week, had this law been about legalizing discrimination, I would have vetoed it. This law does not give anyone a license to discriminate.
All right, so there you go. In a nutshell, that's pretty much the meat of what he had to say. No, nobody can discriminate. That's not what this law is about. He emphasized it over and over again, and I don't think he realized, I suppose, the way this was being interpreted. And the way it was being interpreted, wow, really took off on him. I mean, just got out of control. But he addressed it and tried to head it off, saying we're going to fix it and we're going to move forward. And some would say, well, you know what, this points out what the Republicans are going to be challenged with this, things like this, with this religious freedom law. Because of how many people think, what are you talking about? It's not discriminatory. It is discriminatory. It gives people a license to decide they're not going to serve somebody. It's not going to happen. And he says the problem isn't the law itself, but how it's being perceived. saying a fix is needed only because of the smear that's been leveled against this law. So, I mean, there it is in a nutshell. Do you think there has been some sort of a smear about the law? I said this the other day. On the surface, I mean, religious freedom, absolutely. Why can't you sign a religious freedom bill if you feel it's necessary, if we're talking about religion? But then what it's twisted into. So he's asking lawmakers to send him a follow-up measure before the week's end to ensure that, you know, it's not the case, that the what they're getting, the backlash, is not warranted, that shouldn't be happening. He's in the buzzsaw right now. I mean, he's in the buzzsaw. So what's interesting is everybody who's, we think anyway, is going to run for president in 2016, they're jumping to help Pence. Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and a lot of other likely candidates said Monday night that they supported religious freedom laws and then went into it on Tuesday too as well. Democrats are criticizing the law. That's their storyline. Hillary Clinton tweeted that it's sad that this new Indiana law can happen in America today. The former Maryland governor, Martin O'Malley, called it shameful during an appearance that he was making in New Hampshire on Tuesday. So this is a raw nerve. I mean, this debate got ignited. And it got ignited fast. I mean, the second it came out, then that's when you started to see the debate and the protesters and whatnot. And what's interesting, and I was thinking this was next year, but it's not. We're months from the Supreme Court set to rule on whether same-sex marriage is legal everywhere in the United States. So the religious freedom debate has a different kind of a twist in the current Republican Party. Because you see social conservatives looking for religious freedom laws as better ground, and the typical pro-Republican business community and younger voters seeing those measures at efforts at discrimination. So it just shows you in the Republicans' own party, some are looking at it completely different, and the Indiana governor is looking at it very differently. He was, I think, surprised by the backlash, having really no idea why am I getting this backlash. And it was pretty instantaneous. Once it was signed in, then that's when there were a lot of people with opinions. There were people saying they weren't going to come to the Final Four, for example, because that's right up on us. So that's why I bring that up. And I don't think the backlash is that's it that we've seen. I think there's a good chance there could be some more. We know that whole thing where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire for sure here. And I don't think this just goes away. It's not waved away overnight. Don't think so. Meantime, I want to throw this in quickly. The NSA and the gate, the two men dressed as women ramming the NSA gate. Remember that the other day? It was creepy. You get part of the story, the headlines that come out, and you think, you got to be kidding me. And what's the first thing you think? Of course you think terrorism. But the FBI identified the man who died Monday while trying to use a car, tried to gain access into the National Security Agency campus in Fort Meade, Maryland. And then you got a passenger who's hospitalized, who hasn't been identified yet at this point. And it's about the motives. What was the motives? What made them decide that they were going to do it? They found drugs, they found cocaine in the car, all that sort of stuff. Stay with us. Going to introduce you to somebody pretty darn interesting who served again, 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 and again. And he talks the truth about Syria. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. places, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Very pleased to welcome to this show Sergeant Sangari, and he's a lieutenant colonel. Look at his background. Born and raised in Iran, he's the founder and chief executive officer of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, LLC, with 20 years of executive-level military experience in the U.S. Army. I thought it was important to set that up. And I'll tell you, there's so many things that we could talk about here. But thanks so much, Sergeant, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to ask you first about Iran, because you see what this whole tug of war is going on now. Is there going to be an agreement? What about the sanctions falling by the wayside? We'll know, I guess, in June, and Congress up in arms. What's your take as someone from the area, knowing Iran super well and obviously having all this military involvement here in the U.S.? What's your take on the situation with Iran and what's going on with this agreement?
I think from the Middle East perspective, it doesn't really matter what the final outcome is. What matters is perception is 100% a reality in the Middle East. And right now, what we have shown the perception is by all the Sunni states that we have chosen a side, and this side we have chosen on behalf of the Shia in order to be able to progress their agenda in the Middle East. And the only country that is representing the Shia currently is Iran. They have a footprint in southern Iraq. They have a footprint in Yemen. They have a footprint in Tikrit and Kirkuk. We're providing targeting support by bombing targets for them within the Tikrit region. And those bombing targets that we're running are actually in support of Badakhshan that we were fighting against when I was in Iraq. Now, all that, given the fact also that we're working on a nuclear deal with them and easing of sanctions, regardless of what the outcome is, you have just isolated yourself and said that I've chosen a side.
Yeah, so as you said, all right, look, there's already a side that's been chosen, but then you see what's happening, and we're all horrified by the bits and pieces we're hearing with the Assyrian Christian genocides and what's going on in Iraq and Syria. So as you watch that, I mean, it's again, horrifying. And we see that there's more of the land grab with ISIS, etc. What do you think needs to happen? What does America need to understand about the culture and now what's going on with the beheadings of these Christians?
Well, the Assyrians are the indigenous people of the Middle East. They've actually had a footprint there for 6,000 years. Tomorrow's an Assyrian New Year, believe it or not, 6765. That's a lot of years, and they've been the only Christians present, really, in the Middle East over the past 1,000-plus years. Armenians have been there, too, but really they've been the footprint within the Iraq region itself. The issue is that they've been a staunch supporter of the United States policies within the region. When the United States asked the people of Iraq to put down their weapons and join to become one force, the Assyrians did it within less than 24 hours. The Kurds armed themselves, the Shia armed themselves, the Sunni armed themselves. So what was the payback for the Assyrians and their loyalty in trying to become part of a unified Iraq? We went ahead and armed the Kurds, we armed the Shia, we armed the Sunnis, and then we told the Assyrians you have to be managed, administrated, and you have to be loyal to these government leadership. That when the Mosul fight started in August of last year, the Kurds took off. They didn't want to stay in their fight. The Shia loaded up on two C-130s, flew back to Baghdad. The commanders for the Shia sat in helicopters and flew over the areas where the Assyrians were escaping. Imagine an American commander abandoning a city in the United States because he didn't want to fight there. And then the Sunnis, of course, the ones who were not part of ISIS, tried to escape. The Assyrians found a safe haven for them in their houses. They gave up those houses for the Mosulites, we call them, which are the indigenous people, Sunnis of Mosul, and they took off themselves. Now we have 660,000 Christian Assyrians, refugees in Aqaba, being administered by the same Kurdish leadership that abandoned them. They're in Lebanon, they're in Syria, and now returning around and telling the Assyrians, by the way, you need to go back to the central government and have the central government give you arms. The Assyrians have asked for nothing more than $5 million and just light arms so they could defend their own area. And for whatever reason, we have not provided that for them.
When you look at that and not providing that, and then, of course, there's not any American boots on the ground, and you know how political that is, can you beat ISIS? And you know you all the combat missions you were involved in, can you beat ISIS with airstrikes?
You can beat ISIS with airstrikes and ground forces. The Assyrians have said, give us $5 million, and we can put 10,000 people in the battle. And we have been fighting there. The Assyrian army has been fighting since August of last year. Nobody knows anything about it. Why? Because they're not like the elephants in the region. They're not screaming, saying, look at me, by the way, give me a handout. I need more air platforms. I need up-armor Humvees. The Assyrians have said, give me trucks, Toyota trucks. Give me 120-millimeter mortars. By the way, here's in writing, and they have provided the information in writing as far as what they need. And we still have failed to do and provide that form. I think one of the worry is that if you do provide it to them, and they're able to win on the battlefield, now you're going to have to turn around and say, why did we invest millions and trillions of dollars in the reconstruction of Iraq when $5 million was able to defeat ISIS in these areas that belong historically to the Assyrians?
Well, and when we look at that and we look at the money, like you say, $5 million is so shocking because it's just a drop in the bucket when you think of the military and the budget. It's nothing, and you know that. It's nothing compared to what we've spent money on in a lot of different directions. If there is no step up and we just keep doing kind of the same old thing and people aren't aware of some of what we're talking about just when it's really super horrible and you hear reports of what's going on, what ultimately is the fate for us here in America, Sargis, and of course in Europe as well, if ISIS is allowed to continue to thrive and still recruit?
Well, the bottom line is that ISIS sends out on a weekly basis right now that are reported 90,000 hits on recruitment for the children in the United States specifically. And the reason they do that is because, look, when you have internal issues within your own government and young men and women growing up, if they don't have belief and trust in the political leadership, if they don't have belief or trust in any of the institutions you have established, to include even the military, what happens is they're going to want to look for something that's going to motivate them. So here comes ISIS with great recruiting tools and magazines and capabilities, and they go after that. Mm-hmm. They exploit that particular requirement. If you go to my site in the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, I've put on an article in there which says local terrorism is a global problem. Read that specific article, and I think you'll understand what's happening operationally on the ground as far as how ISIS is recruiting within Europe and also the United States. Japan has, under Article 9, cannot even introduce troops into a fight. They have zero combat troops in Iraq and Syria, and ISIS declared war on them when I was in Japan. So if they're going to declare war on Japan, they're going to declare war on Europe.
Sarge, some people would say, well, what about the U.N.? What about what the U.N. can do? If we wait for the U.N., does it become too late and there'll just be more death and more problems for these Christians and for everybody else, frankly?
The Assyrians are being eradicated. I don't know if anybody understands that. They're dying. They're 39 of their villages that have taken over in a span of 3 days. Okay. Mm. The women have been sold into slavery. Mm. The little girls have been killed. The problem in this country is that you get up in the mornings, you turn on the news, and, oh, wow, 5,000 people died. Okay. Chemical weapons were used. Okay. Look, you got to get involved. And the reason you got to get involved is not for the good of the Assyrians. Look, my heart is with my people, okay? The Assyrians need our support. But my loyalty is to my country. If you are going to create the next generation of Americans who could care less that people are being chemical weaponed, killed, and they're okay with it, what have you created? What type of role model are you putting in as a citizen of this world into the battle? These individuals that are living in those countries who are not getting any support, are dying on a daily basis, whose sons and daughters are being bitten by scorpions, which the enemy is introducing even in their refugee camps to bite as many and kill as many as possible, they're going to remember all this. And then they're going to turn around, and what are you going to say? 4 years from now when they let themselves dead, you're going to say, oh, we stood by you, we made a couple of speeches, by the way, open your ports for our trade. They're not going to accept that. You're creating enemies for not your children, for your grandchildren, but for your great-grandchildren. And if you do not understand that as an American, then obviously you have no understanding of what is happening in the region currently.
Well said. Colonel Sergeant Sangari, thanks so much for coming on. And we want to tell everyone again your website. It's nec-se.com. nec-se.com. Great information there. We'll have you back on the show. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And please also make sure everybody understands that the United Assyrian Appeal is also there. If they want to contribute to support on the lines of security effort, development, and governance, please go ahead and do so in this week of the Holy Week that is coming up.
Oh, that's right. All right, so check that out for sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up, turn it on, shake it up.
It's a big week across the land. Some people actually have strung together a lot of days off, although usually it's around this week, Holy Week, because you've got Passover and Good Friday and Holy Thursday, and of course leading up to Easter. And Easter is one of those kind of holidays where suddenly the churches are really full. You know, when people say, yeah, I go to church on Easter and Christmas. And they really mean it, because seriously, even some of these big mega churches, I was talking to somebody today, and maybe you can relate across the land to this, that somebody that was running a big mega church said to me that what happens is they have to bring in extra people because of the spaces, meaning not the spaces in the pews so much, but the spaces in the parking lot. People get there at all times, and it's like they're at the mall. They can't find a space, and they're parking, you know, sideways and slanted in different directions, and then other people can't get out, and sometimes it leads to not very Easterly kind of things. So Easter Bunny in the morning, havoc in trying to find a place to park, and then celebration a little bit later on. Big news since 9/11 is what? This is something that we talk about, maybe not enough. Give credit where credit's due to some of the intelligence business, people in the intelligence business, because how many terror plots have we had since 9/11? Well, there was something that was just released about the plot to kill 150 National Guard members. And that all fell apart when the FBI grabbed the two cousins in Chicago last week. Remember this. And it turns out that it was the 64th case specifically since 9/11 happened. And you think of all the years that have gone by, and actually that's pretty amazing to me. This Islamic terror plots, whether they're spurred on by something that they see on the internet or for whatever the reason is, but just legitimately Islamic terrorism. And of course, that some of that has now become inflated because of ISIS. But the Illinois National Guardsman, Hassan Edmonds, 22, was nabbed last week. You remember this, at Midway Airport. He was trying to get on a plane to go to the Middle East to join ISIS. And then Jonas Edmonds, their cousins, was trying to get his cousin's uniform and mount a one-man crusade and attack on the Joliet Armory where Hassan's National Guard unit was based. But like a lot of these attacks that are planned, the plot was stopped. Experts at the Heritage Foundation have been tracking the cases, and they say the number of attempts will continue to climb, and more plots are likely to succeed if there's not some kind of countermeasures. Some really aggressive countermeasures to that. And, of course, we just see the Boston trial is wrapping up, at least from the prosecution side of things. And that's Jokhar Tsarnaev, his brother Tamerlan, killed right a day or two after that bombing happened in 2013. But if you go through and you look at the failed attempts, and you can, and I remember this clearly, Richard Reed, because he was the shoe bomber. He was going to blow up a Miami plane, a flight from Paris, and they got him. Didn't work. And then you had a whole bunch of other things that happened in between, and some of the bigger ones, there was somebody that was arrested in 2003, and because I was using this bridge, I remember, who was arrested for trying to destroy the Brooklyn Bridge. There was the Liberty 7, that was a Florida group. They were trying to blow up the Sears Tower and some other government buildings. You saw this, what succeeded with the Tsarnaev brothers, and it could have been actually much worse. But it's pretty crazy at how much success there has been in stopping, especially some of the lone wolf stuff, but it's stopping the Islamic terror of whatever form it is from happening. So bravo, because maybe we don't say that enough. I know we've had people on and we've talked about it, but we still have some of the brightest and the best when it comes to intelligence gathering, and that's a good thing, my friends. Let's go to Grim. Hello, Grim. How are you?
April Fools. How you doing?
April Fools. Yeah, it is April Fools. Yeah. Different holiday.
Yeah, you know how you're always looking for skits, right?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of found one here, and I'm kind of curious as why you hadn't talked about this topic, because it is April. But just imagine you're sitting in your comedy club, and mm-hmm. you see me walk out on stage with a big vanilla envelope, and I grab the mic and I say, y'all all probably wondering what's in this envelope. So I open it and pull out this pamphlet, and you see it's a United States tax booklet. And I say, well, let's start from the beginning here, because you don't want to mess anything because of Uncle Sam. And it says, introduction about these instructions. We have designed these instructions to make it as simple and clear as possible to file your tax return. Wait. Simple. I thought everybody up there in Congress says it's the most complex and hardest thing to do. And I heard not too long ago that the IRS is not really a government agency, but a contracted agency. Is there an attorney in the house here? Because I think I got false advertising here.
If you played that off right, that could work.
We did this by arranging the instruction form 1040 preparation in the most helpful order. Section 2, filing requirements help you decide if you even have to file. Wait, where's Section 1? What's this helpful order? What happened here? Anyhow, I get down to Section 3, it says signing your return. I just think I'm going to go ahead and sign it. April Fools, and then say, missing Section 1. And I call this skit, so that you can recognize how you can find comedy, reading is fundamental.
That's right. You read enough and you'll come up with something. I agree. I give you an A for effort.
You got to admit, because I could continue through this. I got a long skit that, you know, each part of this. And taxes are due. And they think we're fools.
You're right. They think we are fools, and we are, in some senses of the word, aren't we? Because we've been talking about this for a very long time, to reform what is and what ails us, but the tax code.
Flat tax, 10%.
I agree. I've said that for a long time. I think it's a great way to go.
10% because you ain't got to hire a bunch of accountants. I told you before to figure out 17 and a third or whatever. And you can count, you know, base 10 is the easiest math in the world.
Right. It is, and it's fair. You're not making a lot of money. You're making a lot of money. Whatever it is, it'll all come out the same if it's flat.
And 2%, they can run the government on 2% of it. Rest of it comes back to the taxpayers.
Right. Absolutely.
A lot of people don't understand that the military is coming back to the taxpayers. You know, I'm talking about the 2% is just for what they have to do up in D.C.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's welcome to April Fools, the start of the grand holidays, really.
Holidays.
isn't that kind of hilarious in itself? To start off the holidays this week, it starts with an April Fool.
Yeah, and then it goes to the most religious moments that you can have throughout the season, you know, which is you're in a way, you're right. It's wild because April Fool's is you know, how did it start? It's just a day, thanks, Grim, of pranks, of jokes, of, you know, pulling one over on somebody else. Although it's because people are so aware of it now, it's really tough to do the April Fool's thing, I think, where maybe it wasn't so much when some of the pranks first were happening. I mean, it's all about, so it's like one big joke day, right? I think there's even a network, they're doing a whole thing of April Fools. They're going to run funny things, not just funny things, but things that didn't make sense and try to pull that off and see if they could do it. And of course, there's commercials to that effect, which makes sense. And, you know, what's the origin of April Fools? What are some of the all-time hoaxes on April Fool's Day? And like I said, it's tough to pull it off. There have been some really good ones that have happened over the years, but it gets tougher because you have to go back to that. This goes closely with the equinox, right, in medieval times. And they had a big celebration and they were doing the jokes. They were trying to fool people. Because it was called Fool's Errand. They would try to trick people into believing something false. And that was a big thing that happened in Europe. And it was big for the Romans. It was big for the Hindus. They celebrated it. They celebrated April 1st and New Year's Day. And that was all wrapped into one around the same time. But some of the explanations I've heard, it goes back to, you know, in mentioning Rome and Constantine, there were a group of, what else, court jesters and fools. And, you know, that's kind of how the story goes, that there were some things that the Romans did, and it became the whole fool's errand, April Fools, and the role of the jesters to take some of the seriousness out of what was going on in those times. All right, stay with us, 855-266-5283.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
As the New World Order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Walks further down the street, people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the dumb ways of bullets, straight to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust.
All right, let's jump right to it as we turn around the final bend for this hour anyway. Hopefully we're going in the right direction, if you know what I mean. Dan is listening to us in the great state of Texas. Hello, Dan.
Yes, the great state of Texas.
It is the great state of Texas.
Of course
absolutely.
It is. I'm not arguing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Take off your lawyer hat, my love. Okay. Did you happen to hear about the two little Muslim brothers that decided, because this one other kid had disrespected the Prophet Muhammad, they took a couple of meat cleavers to him and killed him?
No.
Yeah, that happened. And then I was listening to Glenn Beck this morning, and they had a guy on there that was captured by the Israelis. And he was the son of one of the high mucky mucks in Hamas. And he not only decided that, hey, you know, the Israelis aren't pulling my fingernails out, and the Israelis aren't chopping off our fingers, and the Israelis aren't burning us, and the Israelis aren't beating our feet with flat paddles like we do. These guys aren't so bad. So what did he do? He converted to Christianity, not to Judaism, but to Christianity. And then
wow.
He got them to get him out of the country and come to America. And he says, this is his words, that the Muslim religion is at war with the world, and that the world must become all Muslim before they can bring about peace and tranquility that they need to foster for the entire world, all Muslims.
So does that mean that you're going to boycott watching Dr. Oz?
I don't watch Dr. Oz.
Piece of crap. Well, you know what? There is some horrific things happening. There's no question. And we know it. I mean, you know, you'd heard that last conversation.
Your gentleman you had on earlier, the one that was retired Navy that had his little book sale. He's absolutely wrong. Bolton's got the right idea. The only thing Muslims respect is strength. That's the only thing that deters them. You have to hit these people right between the eyes with a 2x4 to get their attention. And to tell them that you're going to blow them off the face of the earth and then start doing it, that gets their attention. He's absolutely right. That's the only way we're going to ever win. And for everybody else out here in this country that thinks we can get by with diplomacy, there's never been a war won by diplomacy, and we are at war. We didn't start the war. The Muslims started the war 1,400 years ago, and they're still continuing it. And I don't give a damn about their prophet or anybody else. If they don't like it, they can kiss my you-know-what.
Well, you know, but the problem is, too, Dan, some of this we should have just stayed out of, and I don't think we would have had some of the things happening.
Yeah, that's true. And another thing, I heard you talking about what Pence is doing. Look, all Pence was doing over there was putting forth a situation of where people were protected from not the gays. They weren't trying to segregate the gays. What they were doing was putting forth the premise that they were protected for their religious rights. When the government tries to tell them, you have to sell these abortion pills, you have to provide money for abortions with your business, you have to provide abortion for your employees, they say, no, this is a thing that interferes with our religious rights. And the whole thing was hijacked by George Stephanopoulos because he wanted to portray it as the whole thing being against gays being able to buy a cake or get flowers or whatever. And that's
right.
Not what it was about. It was about the rights of people wanting to protect the religion, even the Muslim religion.
Yeah, we talked about this last night. I don't think he thought that. I agree with you. I think that he stepped into it now because of the culture. But I don't think that's what he intended at all.
Well,
I
have an idea. Listen, let's give the gays, an entire state, all to themselves. I suggest Connecticut. Just send them all there and say, you can have Connecticut, and the rest of us will live here.
Oh, Dan, you're so silly. Thanks for the call. No, and Dan said this last night. He said he didn't care. He said that who cares? Let people live how they live. I, of course, agree with that. I do believe that that's not what Pence thought. I don't think that he thought that. He wasn't thinking that. But he clearly, in looking at the laws, there were some things that were different in it, and it was exploded, and it was pushed out in much different directions, and he did not expect this fallout. He didn't think anything about it. He didn't think that that was the aspect of it. He really, really didn't. He was carrying the mantle for, hey, listen, we want religious freedom. We're starting to see things that are impinged on, so I'm going to take up that cause by signing this into law. And, you know, whether he's hoodwinking me or not, I don't think that that's what that particular thing is what he meant. I really don't. But it doesn't matter. This is how it's perceived because of how it can be interpreted. So that's where the problem lies. All right, Jack in Australia, hello.
Hello, Kate. I've got two quick April Fool stories for you. One of them was when early in my radio career, one of the big advertising executives in Australia bet my boss at the time, a guy by the name of Doug Mulray, that he could pull the biggest trick in Australian history, and he nearly got away with it. He wrapped up one of his, a container ship to look like an iceberg. It almost sailed all the way into Sydney Harbour before the joke was blown. It was when the pilot's boat pulled up alongside for the pilot to get on board, and one of the helicopter news crews sort of spotted that and thought, hang on, there's something sus here. So that was probably one of the greatest attempted
gags that's awesome.
I've ever seen. Nearly worked. The second one was one I tried to pull when I was in the Army against a Marine detachment that was on the USS Missouri that had come to Australia for an operation. These poor Marine lads had been at sea for quite a while and not used to the taste of alcohol, as opposed to those of us in the Australian military. And so prior to the exercise, we had a few drinks beforehand. The next day, the exercise starts, and we've told such horrible stories about radioactivity having mutated koalas into essentially the cross between a soft and cuddly plush toy and Freddy Krueger. So I've snuck up very close to a Marine detachment, and we've slung this giant stuffed plush koala bear with strap-on Freddy Krueger claws onto it, and we thought, okay, fine, we'll drop it down into the middle of the Marine encampment. Little did we know, not only were they carrying blank ammunition, they were carrying live ammunition. So Freddy Krueger's koala drops down into the middle of their encampment, and everyone's loaded up very quickly with live ammunition, and there are little tiny polystyrene balls flying through the air.
Oh, man. Oh, that's crazy. That's good. That's good. I like both of those, Jack. Clever. If you can pull them off, that's the key. Yeah, that's the key. I'm glad that you shared that with us, Jack. That's the key to pulling it off. I loved his boss's thing, too. For it to come that close before it was blown is pretty wild. But, you know, when you know it's April Fool's, like I said, the alerts are up. You're looking for the obvious things to happen. So it's being creative. It's being very clever and trying to figure out a way to disguise it. You know, to figure out a way how do you, people are observing it so they know it and they're trying to play jokes. So what is it you can do leading up to it or surrounding it that wouldn't be so obvious? Yeah, so how do you do that? Man, I'm trying to think if I've ever been the victim. I think it's just been silly things. I can't think of one huge April Fool's joke that happened to me. I can't think of it. I know people try to pull it off, but then usually they can't keep the. They do the Jimmy Fallon thing when he's on Saturday Night Live, and they just burst out in hysterics, and obviously they're busted then. But April Fool's really has, you know, gone back a long, long time in the history books, all the way back to the Romans for sure. And then there's an argument as to when was really the first April Fool's Day. You can decide for yourself. Happy April Fool's Day. Be careful out there.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing for us to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.